I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match.
It's Rich Eisen.
Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show on the air live on the Roku channel here in Los Angeles, California. If you missed the first 2 hours, you missed Daniel Jeremiah calling into the show. I walked him through the first round quarterbacks and Bijan Robinson and the defensive group, and he does not think Will Anderson is the first one. He thinks Will's the third defender off the board. He said Tyree Wilson will go first, maybe to Arizona. And then he thinks that it'll be Jalen Carter, maybe to Seattle. And then Will Anderson would be there for the Lions to take because quarterbacks will go around them. That might be a way for this thing to go. Although, just to point out how much of a, I guess last year in Vegas, you'd call it a crapshoot. Here in Kansas City, how much of a, what would you say,
I'm trying to make a barbecue analogy.
I know,
I'm just trying to think.
Can't figure out what it is. Just how much of a mystery it all is? How much there's a lot of smoke. You can't see through the smoke. Is that good?
Yeah, it's close.
He said he received a text from one, evaluating source, and then another one said the Seahawks are never going to let Carter go past five. And the other one was like, the Seahawks will never take Jalen Carter.
Love it.
And as DJ said, what to make of all that, Rich?
Yeah, keep bringing up Peter King. He dropped his mock, the only one he does, on his column this morning. He has Will Anderson as the third defender. He has Tyree Wilson going second to Houston.
Wow.
C.J. Stroud going third to Tennessee, who trades up from 11 with Arizona.
What a night that would be.
Will Levis fourth to Indianapolis.
Uh-huh.
Jalen Carter fifth to Seattle. And then Will Anderson going sixth to Detroit.
The Lions would just lose their minds if that happens.
Yeah. And then DJ mentioned the Raiders market for a defender.
Yeah.
He has them taking Devin Witherspoon from Illinois.
Well, could you imagine if this happens for the Lions? That means they would have Will Anderson, who you could say is one of the best pass rushers college football has had on the field for the last 2 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
On one side and Aiden Hutchinson on the other? What?
Yeah, yep.
Like what? Really? Maybe. And then they've got another first-round pick, their own, in their back pocket for later. And Daniel said if it's possible Bijan Robinson drops and he's sitting there at Detroit at 18. And they walk out with Will Anderson and Bijan Robinson, then that's it. Like there's no like who wins the draft conversation. It's over, and it would be Detroit.
Yeah.
Wow. So this is all up there, and it's out there. It's in there. I'm here. You're there. And I'll be heading to the draft in short order. I'll be there all week. Try the wine.
Take the waitress.
Yes, exactly. I just had a nice chat with Chris Davis. Who plays George Foreman in the new film Big George Foreman about, wait for it, George Foreman. And that's exclusively in theaters this Friday. I'll give you two choices, guys. One is he's one of those actors that are shorter than you think.
Okay. Yeah,
two, he's playing all of Big George Foreman because he's as tall as, say, Deontay Wilder almost.
Oh, goodness gracious.
And again, I'm a shorter man.
Wow.
When it comes to that sort of thing, so it might be tougher for me to. You've been around the Bronze Bomber, so. What's your choice?
I'm going to say option two.
Well, all I know is he got up from the couch and he kept going. So, from Camden, New Jersey, Mikey.
Whoa.
What exit is that?
On the probably three.
On that? Well, that's a turnpike.
Turnpike Parkway. You got to go across the whole state, so it's. You're going Turnpike.
Okay, Camden. Turnpike to Camden, right?
Definitely.
Okay, very good. Well, we'll ask him that when he comes out shortly.
He'll know.
I'm sure he will.
He'll know.
He'll know.
Hey, Chris, Camden, how do you get home?
I might be wrong.
Well, I'm looking right now.
All right.
See what exit it is.
Chris was also in Atlanta. Had a little role in that for a few episodes, too.
So. We'll be talking about it all with him. He'll be joining us shortly here on the Rich Eisen Show in studio. We just said goodbye to Kate Mara, who's in Class of 09 on Hulu.
Hulu.
We just went down memory lane with her. As her dad is family owns the Giants, and her mom's side of the family owns the Steelers.
How about that?
Yeah. My parents were just public school educators.
Yep. I mean, that's it. That's legitimate NFL royalty.
Coast Guard,
right there,
and
man.
My mom stayed at home.
There you go.
So
there you have it.
Yeah. And I tweeted out that thing that she said, and obviously it's a joke, people. It's not, everyone's tweeting back like, whoa, what's going on?
I love it.
I'm like, nothing.
It's called creating a buzz, Chris.
It's Twitter, man.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You don't have a blue check mark, so people don't know who the hell you are.
The show doesn't have a check mark.
Yeah, we lost that too, huh?
Yeah.
Mike, is there a way, like, can you
make a phone call?
Ask your buddy Elon.
I will. I can call Elon. I got his number.
Is it one of those things where, you know, you might get like 10% off your Twitter blue, like you might get 80 cents back?
Like if you get a friend to sign up?
Yeah, but getting friends to sign up.
You give us your friend, you get a discount.
And if he does offer that, get in immediately, because he might just reverse course and just change his business model the next day. Because that's what he seems to do a lot.
Yeah, he does every day.
Yeah.
Every day.
Since I'm just one of those elitists that need to be owned, and I got my blue check mark back for nothing.
I'm rich.
Congratulations.
No, I'm just wondering, Mike, how does it make you feel that you spent money on it,
I don't spend
a dime on it, and I've got it, and my only cost is that people think I paid for it, and I don't want them to, and you're so happy that you did, and you're happy to let people know you were in on that caper. Like this was a Lufthansa heist, and you're the wig man who helped come up with the idea.
Mikey the wig man, first of all, doesn't need his money. But getting back to it, I started Twitter Blue from the first moment it came to stop ads, which I shouldn't because ads.
You shouldn't because.
But
it doesn't matter anymore because
that's why I did
Elon's destroyed that part of the business too. The amount of revenue that this show made off of Twitter ads has been cut by about 95% because all of the things that he's done has ruined that part of the business too.
I just
throwing that out there. You and I are on we're supposed to be the same playing level.
We're not.
Well, it is.
I'm upset.
It is. You've got
You're
it. I've got
again.
It. You just paid for it.
You're elitist again.
I'm elitist again.
You're elitist again.
Hey.
See?
Hey. Back where I belong. Looking down on Mike.
I have no idea what you guys are talking about because I can't get onto this site.
TJ can't even get on. He doesn't even know what Twitter is.
All right. It's a Monday, and it's the Monday of draft week, which means this is an epic edition of Overreaction Monday. Hit it.
Yes. That was terrible.
That was crap. That was garbage.
This place sucks.
Overreaction
Mondays.
Monday.
All right, Christopher, what do you got over
there?
Hey,
guys, what's up? We got a lot, so let's just go fast. Uh-oh. All right, NFL draft. Here we go. Rich, I look at the betting odds. I know what they say. I believe them. Will Levis is going second overall. Your current better favorite, he is minus money.
No, but this is overreaction.
Minus money.
This is overreaction. It's not an overreaction to say that now. If you had given me this 2 weeks ago, that would have been an overreaction then. Now it's not.
Well, Daniel Jeremiah said it's
Daniel
it's
Jeremiah,
CJ Stroud.
But he believes that CJ Stroud is the better evaluation. And I don't believe Will Levis is going second overall, but it's not an overreaction to say that now because people are going crazy. The crazy thing is, like, what? How is C.J. Stroud now worse than Will Levis in the eyes of the Texans when I guess they had to meet Will or Will's put on, you know, more muscle on top of muscle and, you know?
Do you buy into this test score thing that's been going around the last
few
days?
That's the worst thing ever.
That Stroud out of 100 got an 18?
Come on, man.
That's kind of the latest buzz from the weekend.
So you're not going to take him, really?
No, I watched the Georgia tape.
I would take him number one.
I would take him number
were
one.
Were you thinking C.J. Stroud is not going to test well mentally or academically?
Don't care.
And this is how I think it's so ridiculous part of a story is here I am having an opportunity to take a shot at Ohio State not being as smart as you think, and I'm not taking it.
No, because he's awesome at football.
Give me a break. He should be second overall.
I would take him number
one. But it's not an overreaction to say that Will Levis will be right now. What else you got over there?
All right, here we go. Last year, as we said, there were 9 trades in the first round, including that gigantic A.J. Brown trade. I think there's going to be at least another one of these. Shocking trade involving a star not named Aaron Rodgers.
I'll agree with you.
Not named Rodgers.
Boy, why am I just looking at Derrick Henry? Although our buddy Akbar set things aflame about Derrick Henry going to the Eagles, and that is not happening as of this current airing. I'll go with you, and I'll peg Derrick Henry being that guy. If he's out there, why wouldn't you? You can't draft Derrick Henry in the first round of this draft. Let's see you miss on Bijan. I don't know, man. Who else would it be? Who would be? Is it DeAndre? Would it be Hopkins? Instead, who else would it be?
Devin White, is that big enough name for you? What if some Lamar stuff is brewing?
Lamar's not going anywhere.
Buda Baker,
that's not up there with A.J. Brown, I don't think. Buda Baker is significant. I don't think he's going anywhere either. So I'll go with you. It may not happen, but it's still not an overreaction. What else, Chris?
All right, one of the quarterback names we see slipping, mock drafts having him down in the 20s now, is Anthony Richardson. I think that's bunk. He's going in the top 5.
Yeah.
I still think quarterbacks go 1, 2, 3, 4.
But here's the thing here, Chris, that I think it just shows you how absolutely nutty this whole process is. At what point in this entire journey, from the combine to this moment, would Anthony Richardson being drafted in the top 5 be considered an overreaction? Not at any step of the way. No,
but now here we are.
And now it would be. Based on everyone hearing he's dropping, he's this, he's that. So this is not an overreaction. I think he will be still drafted in the top 5. And I think that'll be shown in my come at me mock draft tomorrow.
Oh.
My come at me mock draft. I got to work on that tonight. Maybe in between innings of Cooper's Little League game or in between serves of Xander's volleyball game that I got as soon as I'm done with this program.
Anthony Richardson is the favorite to go 5th. So we'll see.
Yeah, I think he's top 5.
So we'll see.
I'll say that.
How about this one?
Yes, sir.
CJ Stroud is going to go outside the top 5.
No way. That's an overreaction. This is nuts. Can we stop this nonsense? Get the hell out of here. Come on. He was so amazing against Georgia. He is as good as they coming out of college. I saw him throw at the combine. He was flipping it around like effortlessly and dropping it in buckets. Come on, everybody.
I think the test stuff.
He should be second overall, and the only reason why, you know, you might give you a pause is you're watching the Michigan tape.
Yeah. I think that's fair. 2 years in a row.
Yeah. Like us being nominated.
You know.
What else you got over there, Chris?
Bijan Robinson, not going to make it past the Falcons at 8.
I don't think that's an overreaction either. Why would the Falcons pass on this kid?
I don't know. Sarah will be so happy.
Did we get him? We didn't get him. We're trying to get him for tomorrow's show. We got Will Anderson on tomorrow's show. Nice. Pardon me. We now have Bijan. Good. I want to meet him. I've heard nothing but amazing things about him. And if you're an evaluator, a coach, an owner in the NFL, this should be paramount to you. Paramount. That you love this kid and you're going to send him all around your community. Stick him in the ATL. Let's go. Let's go.
Because
you take a look at the rest
London
of their offseason moves. They hit the hell out of their defense.
Load it up.
Let's go. And you have to give Desmond Ridder the opportunity to show what he's doing. Then that's what you do.
Yep.
Okay.
Big year for Kyle Pitts.
Yeah.
Kind of make or break for
Mr. Pitts.
For that spot.
Mr. Pitts, right?
Hey. How about this one? Peter King had it in his mock draft. Somebody we're not expecting is going to make a big move up for a quarterback.
Say it again?
Someone we're not expecting, a team we're not thinking about. Big move up for a quarterback.
I don't know. I'm going to say a team we're not expecting, that's an overreaction is what I'll say. I'll say that's an overreaction. And I think that we're not I'm going to go as
like,
part
what
of
if Washington moves up or something?
I don't think so. I don't think Washington's moving up. I don't think Like, would Minnesota, would you categorize Minnesota?
Yeah, I think that would be not expecting. They're hoping somebody falls to them, but, you know, what if they move up? Baltimore?
No way. I don't think any of these guys are like, we have to move up from, like, the only one that that I think would merit moving up to go get, to not expect them to do it, like somebody in that not expected category, is someone in the second round moving up to the back of the first to take Hendon Hooker and get a fifth year option on him. I don't know. I'm just going to be part of, like, we're not evaluating the quarterbacks in the media the same way that they are in the pros, but I still think Richardson's going to be the third quarterback off the board. I don't know.
Feels good not to have to worry about a quarterback, man.
Well, mine's coming in the trade.
That's what you think.
And his is going to be rehabilitated by Bill O'Brien, who he slagged on for his evaluation as a coach and an evaluator from his Texan days earlier on this program.
Yeah, I don't want him picking the groceries. I want him cooking the meal.
You got one more?
Got one more. You saw the picture of Colorado Spring Game 2022.
Yes, I did.
Colorado Spring Game 2023.
Yes.
What was the big difference there?
Deion Sanders, sir.
Yeah, well, Coach, he's going to be coaching in the NFL in 3 years.
Yep.
3 years.
I don't know about the NFL. I don't know. I honestly haven't spoken to him about that, if he wants to do that or not. I don't know if he wants to do that. I think he may love the kids. Yeah. I don't know. He may love the process. I don't know. He may get sick of it. But that's not an overreaction. And let me just say this. To all the schools that had a chance to get him,
right,
and didn't,
including his own Florida State,
all the schools that thought he was maybe fugazi because he's just prime time, and he's not going to be, it's just window dressing. They may not win, you know, 10 games this year. They may not even be above 500, but what they're going to be is relevant, which is what you want them to be in year one. When you are coming off of such a disaster. So to all the schools that had a shot at Deion, didn't get him. Oops.
Your bet.
Sorry, folks.
Sorry, folks.
That's a prime.
Prime time.
Love him. Good for him. 844-204-RICH, number to dial here on this program. When we come back, Chris Davis, the man who plays Big George Foreman in theaters near you later this week, he is here. That's next. He's sitting on the couch to your right now, Chris.
Hey.
Say hello. I just learned Discover credit cards do something pretty awesome. At the end of your first year, they automatically double all the cash back you've earned. That's right. Everything you've earned, doubled. All the cash back from eating at your favorite soup dumpling restaurant, doubled. All the cash back from that trip where you sort of learned to snowboard, also doubled. And the best part, you don't have to do anything ridiculous to get it. Nope. Discover does it automatically. Seriously, though, see terms and check it out for yourself at discover.com/match. Noble is a training brand for people who work hard and don't believe in excuses. Noble's performance footwear, apparel, and accessories are worn by some of the fittest athletes on earth and is now the official combine training partner of the NFL and the official on-field supplier of apparel and headwear for the NFL Scouting Combine. Head to www.nobleproject.com/NFL to see how Noble forever changed the NFL Combine, and to shop football training essentials and more gear for your day-to-day workouts. Stay tuned to the Rich Eisen Show and keep your eyes on our Twitter feed and YouTube channel as I'm hosting a new segment sponsored by Noble called From the Combine to the Draft. I'll profile a few players' journeys from the physical and mental tests of the NFL Combine as we head towards the thrilling moment when the picks are announced in Kansas City during the draft. That's twitter.com/Rich Eisen Show and youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. From the Combine to the Draft, sponsored by Noble. Big George Foreman in theaters near you exclusively this Friday. The man who plays George Foreman, Chris Davis, is here on the Rich Eisen Show. When you first got the opportunity, or you knew you had an opportunity to play George Foreman, right, you thought what?
It's a huge responsibility. I mean, I was a little nervous because I didn't want to mess it up, you know. And we're talking about not just somebody who you're doing a biopic about. You're talking about an icon over the span of several different generations.
Mm-hmm.
And he's not just the grill guy. He's got a huge fight legacy, you know? And then I had no idea when I came into the job that he had a religious background, a religious mm-hmm. part of his life. That's a lot to cover.
Yeah.
And we're going to cover the span of several decades.
Yes.
So how do I do it, right? Mm-hmm. And you get it, and you don't really know how you're going to go about it, but you just start eating the elephant one bite at a time.
And what'd you learn?
I learned everything about Mr. Foreman. When I first got the script, what I knew about him was that he was the grill guy, and he was the guy who lost to Ali. That's about as far as it went.
Uh-huh.
You know? So.
And by the way, I totally get that. How old are you?
I want to say.
But you're a young man.
I'm not old enough to remember his first career. And
I'm 53, and it's kind of hazy in my head too.
Yeah,
Chris,
so
you know?
Going back and reading his autobiographies and watching all the as much footage on him as I could, it was all so eye-opening to me who he was, because I did, as a fight fan, always wonder mm-hmm. when I was watching that Rumble in the Jungle, who that guy was, right? I had my own feelings about the fight, you know, in regards to what the ref was doing
mm-hmm.
or wasn't doing.
Right.
And I was curious. So having the opportunity to go back and dig deep on who this guy was, man, I was floored by his experience in life, you know?
How much were you exposed to the real George Foreman? How much contact did you have with George?
So I went and I met him.
Okay.
Yeah, and I spent 3 days in Houston with him, which is incredible.
You go to his house?
So I had gone down there because, you know, I had seen so much film.
Mm-hmm.
I had read the autobiographies.
Yeah.
But we're not doing a movie about interviews. You know what I mean?
If we're
going to do just a bunch of vignettes of Mr. Foreman's interviews, then mm-hmm. fine. Then maybe I don't need to talk to him. But we're not.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing a movie about his personal experience, his human experience.
Yeah.
So I wanted to go meet him, you know, not to extract anything else from him other than what his natural way of state of being was.
And so what happened?
I wrote down a whole bunch of questions.
Mm-hmm. You wrote them down.
I wrote down, you know, I was, you know, I'm not a media guy, so, but I knew that I had to ask him something.
Right.
Man, I had all these questions. I got in front of Mr. Foreman, and all I could do was stare at the guy. That's all I could do was stare at the guy because I couldn't believe that I'm actually sitting in front of Mr. George Foreman.
Right.
The legacy that he had, you know, as a fighter, I had read his books. Now I know.
Yes.
Now I know who he is, what he's done. Man, I couldn't talk. And something in the back of my mind was like, Chris, ask him a question. Mr. Foreman, and I'm trying to ask him these questions, but I couldn't. And I'm just watching him talk, and he's trying to find things to keep saying to me. And really, and I listened back to some of the tape, right?
Yeah.
And I had like this high-pitched tone as I was talking to him. Like, so yeah, Mr. Foreman, I don't know where that came from.
Did he think you were you were doing the Tyson movie instead?
I don't know, man, but I didn't know that I was doing that. But maybe that was my nerves, or maybe I was just overthinking that I didn't want him to think that I was some corny dude who was going to take on his life story, because I wanted him to know more than anything that I was serious and that I was going to treat it with as much care and delicacy as I possibly could.
Because you had to think he's sizing you up, too.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
Okay.
It was wild.
All right. Now I'm mandated to ask you, did he cook you something on
the
grill?
No, he did not. No, he did not.
Because I would have walked in there, okay, where's the grill?
Where's the grill?
Where's
you
the
know,
grill?
Actually, I didn't want to ask him about the grill.
Because I didn't want to
ask him any, like...
Because it's too unserious.
Yeah.
I understand.
Yeah, and I really wanted him to know that I was taking it serious.
Yes.
And I wanted him to take me serious, as well as somebody who's going to be doing my job, you know, the job. So I didn't want to, you know, yeah.
I get it. I'm just an unserious person.
No.
You know, no. I'm just being an unserious person with you. But I because again, he is, it's pop culture, right? It's more than just a fight game with him.
Right.
He's a total pop culture icon.
Absolutely.
In many ways, certainly when he comes back and then he does it again. I mean, the oldest, you know, or the most aged heavyweight champion in the whole
come back and do it.
Career, right, to ever do it.
I mean, I don't think when you hear it, right? And unless you're 35, let's say 35.
Yeah.
And you think about sitting at home, you haven't played a sport
yes.
since you were in your 20s. and you're 35 now, and you say to yourself, I'm going to go and be a pro.
Yeah.
At this, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like sitting in the house, I played football years ago growing up.
Mm-hmm.
It'd be like me sitting in the house saying, hey, you know what? I think I'm going to go to the combine. You know, I think I'm going to be in the NFL. I want to do it. God told me
yes.
that I'm going to go to the NFL and be a top tier tight end.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy. That's nuts. And he did that. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And I think that people need to understand just how miraculous this dude's story is. I mean, even winning the gold medal mm-hmm. at the 68 Olympics, you're talking about a kid who never gloved up before. Now, we know fighting, right?
Mm-hmm.
Never gloved up before. From the first day he put gloves on and sparred, a year later, he won gold at the Olympics.
Unbelievable.
Come on, man. That's an impossibility. That's an impossibility, for real. Sure, you work hard, you become heavyweight champ, right? Mm-hmm. There's a lot of work that goes into that. You can't take that away from him. But he did have these really miraculous, and as you know, it's in the story title for that reason,
mm-hmm.
really miraculous moments
mm-hmm.
that are rather impossible in any other circumstance.
Yeah. Big George Foreman in theaters near you exclusively this Friday. The man who plays George Foreman, Chris Davis, is here on The Rich Eisen Show. What was it? I mean, you were talking about the moment you meet George Foreman. What about hearing that Forrest Whitaker is going to be in this film? What about that one for you?
That one was a big one for me because, you know, I grew up watching Mr. Whitaker.
Sure.
Grew up respecting his legacy
mm-hmm.
as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt humbled because, you know, he came into this job in a sense, kind of to uplift not just Mr. Foreman's legacy and things like that, but he was there uplifting me, and he didn't have to do that. You know,
how did he do that? What do you mean?
Well, you know, he's Mr. Whitaker. He should be number one on the call sheet, you know, and I'm number one on the call sheet. Man, what a grace to be able to come in and just mm-hmm. say, I'm going to do this and support this young actor.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, man. I didn't take that for granted. So I wanted him also to know that I was serious and that I wanted to show up for him too.
Yes.
When we were doing our scenes. So I didn't want him to feel like he had to pick up my slack or anything. I wanted him to know that I'm able to hold my own so that you can continue to shine as Mr. Whitaker and that you know that we can do this together as a team. You know, I wanted to be a proper teammate for Mr. Whitaker. I didn't want him to ever doubt that I wasn't showing up.
Did you ever communicate that to him, or you just did it with your work?
I told him thank you.
You did?
Yeah, I told him thank you immediately. You know, I told him that because I needed him to know that I wasn't just walking in there feeling like, you know, I'm the man and you hear busting it down
right
behind me. Ever. Never that. Never
you
that.
You didn't call him old like Dylan
I didn't
Brooks
call
to
him
LeBron.
Old. No, sir. Okay. No, sir. Well, he did tell me to not call him Mr. Whitaker. So I apologize. I apologize for it. I said it.
You did call him Mr. Yeah. Whitaker on the set?
Yeah, man. Yeah, because I wanted to show deference. You know, he put in 40 years
yes.
in the game.
Mm-hmm.
That's deference. I got to show deference to that. That's earned. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Same thing with Mr. Foreman. I'm not going to walk around calling him George Foreman. We didn't go to high school together. That's not my elementary school, buddy. You know what I mean? I got to show some deference.
We go to high school together.
I love that. I've got Chris Davis here on The Rich Eisen Show. So you're from Camden, New
yes.
Jersey.
Yes.
Okay. That's way down south, and that's south right Jersey. Across. That's right across from Philadelphia.
Right across
right?
from Philly, yeah.
So you're Philly sports, or
Philly sports?
Okay,
yeah.
So the Eagles were going on their Super Bowl run this year. Was something you were
that was great
fired up about?
That was great. I mean, it was cool that I got to see them do it twice
mm-hmm.
or three times.
Yes, that's true.
You know, mm-hmm. The first time was with McNabb.
Yep.
You know, leading the charge, and Andy Reid. You know, and that was a tough one for a lot of different reasons.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had a lot of feelings about the way that the team was behaving.
With T.O. and...
Yeah, uh-huh. and that whole T.O. and McNabb energy,
mm-hmm.
that was hurtful because it was like, you know, we're here. That's when you squash it. That's when you go for it. You know, and I think that did play a part, you mm-hmm. know, and in the media, it was real heavy. You remember, it was real heavy.
Hey, and Chris, let me tell you something.
Yeah.
After that Super Bowl, that was the second one NFL Network covered.
Mm.
And we flew from Jacksonville, which is where the game took place, all the way to the Pro Bowl in Hawaii. And it took, you know, the full day. And this is way before, you know, Twitter was on cell phones and anything like that. So I had no idea that T.O. had called out McNabb for vomiting in the huddle towards the end of that game.
Yeah.
And so we showed up at the Pro Bowl for NFL Network and we're setting up for a show because the Eagles were coming the next day. Had no idea what was going on there. And we had McNabb and Terrell Owens together, slated to be interviewed together. And then about an hour before the interview was taking place, we were told neither would come if both were going to be there. Crazy. And we kind of looked at each other like, what is up with that? They just played in a Super Bowl. And T.O., with his leg basically reconstructed, dominated. He was he had an incredible game.
Yes.
So I remember we were stunned that there was something going on there. And to your point, it was definitely simmering.
Yeah,
it was definitely happening.
Philly fans are rough on their sports teams when they're not behaving properly, you know. But after that, you know, it's not a personal thing that I was saying, sure. But, you know, everybody started calling McNabb Willie Beeman. You know, instead of calling him Willie Beeman. And people were hurt by the fact that they couldn't squash whatever they had going on to bring home Chip. Now, when Foles got there, you know, nobody expected that to happen.
Nope.
You talk about, I heard, what's her name? Was just talking about an underdog story. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, that was the underdog story. You know, all these old cats, nobody expected them to win.
Mm-hmm.
We got Nick Foles in there. And didn't he perform, man?
Yeah.
It was, we talk about a Rudy moment, you know? And I was there. I was there when they won. Now, I'm an Eagles fan. I'm cool if we lose.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to us getting to the really high point and then falling back.
Mm-hmm.
I get it. I'm still a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But this time felt different. So I went and
You went to Minnesota?
No. I went and I got myself a hotel ticket in Philadelphia, right?
Uh-huh.
For when they were going to, you know, go to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So I got myself a hotel ticket in Philadelphia because I know it was going to get crazy if we won. Right? I knew it. It was going to get crazy. But nobody was buying hotel tickets because nobody expected us to win.
Mm-hmm.
So the whole hotel room was like $30 a night in Center City, Philadelphia.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah, it was crazy. Like $30 a night, right? So I had this hotel room and I had just finished a job and I was like, you know, If we lose, I have the hotel room and I can go see family in Camden.
Yeah.
I don't care. It's all good. So I get down there and we're watching the game. And to the last second, it was like nobody could breathe. We were winning.
Yeah.
But nobody wanted to jinx it, right? And the moment we won, everybody started screaming. We walked outside. And you know, if you're in Philadelphia, if you've ever been, Center City, City Hall is right in the middle of this circle.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. So you walk out and it was like being on a movie set. It was like a movie. We walked outside. We were all cheering from inside the hotel. And then suddenly from either side of the building of City Hall,
it just came.
Swarms of people started coming. It was like a movie, man. And people were out there. It was thousands of people. And I'm out there. People started climbing light poles, telephone poles. It was nuts, man. And when I knew it was time to go home... was when I started seeing beer cans go. I said, okay, y'all, I'm out. I'm going to see y'all later, man.
It wasn't when the horses got punched?
Yes, man. It was crazy. It was wild, man, but it was a beautiful experience. So I was excited that we went back again.
And now you've got Jalen Hurts leading the show. I mean, I love that guy.
Yeah.
I love everything about him. I love the way he carries himself. I love the way he speaks. I love the way he plays. Yeah. I love the way he leads. I love his heart. I love his mind. Yeah. I love his soul. I love the whole damn thing.
I agree.
All of it. Like, he's a dream come true. He's what you want to have as your quarterback.
I agree. I think that this team is, overall, I think it's probably the best like complete squad that we've had in a long time.
I agree. Even the Super Bowl team.
I'm really happy with this team. And you know, Jalen Hurts and I are actually frat brothers. I don't know him personally, but we are in the same fraternity. So I have a lot of love and support for
him.
Which one? Omega Psi Phi Fraternity Incorporated.
Okay.
Yeah, so I have a lot of love and support for him and I look forward to seeing much more of his success. You know, him getting this offer to be paid you know, I'm wanting this for him. I'm wanting this for him, you know?
Yeah.
Big and time.
He deserves every. He does. He deserves it all. He deserves it all. Are you a Sixer fan too or not so much?
I am a Sixers fan. I'm a Sixers fan.
So is TJ, the man behind you from Altoona, Pennsylvania too.
Oh, word. You and your word. Yeah. I'm a Sixers fan. And like I told you back there, you know, I didn't grow up a Sixers fan. You know, my dad is a Lakers fan. And, you know, I grew up watching Kobe.
Well, he's Philly,
Shaq.
Right?
Yeah. Well. Uh-huh. I didn't even know that until much later.
Okay.
You know? All right. So, yeah, I mean, I grew up a Lakers fan. And then once Kobe retired, you know, it was like, you know, just it's time to be a hometown boy. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
I got you. Well, this is fun, Chris. This has been a fun conversation. Big George Foreman exclusively in theaters this Friday. I know TJ wanted, you want to ask about Atlanta?
Yeah, I just, you know, Atlanta was such a great show, man. And when you came on to Atlanta, the way I kind of described your character, man, was kind of like, this was like Bra Man from Martin, but kind of like a little bit more dangerous than Bra Man. So what was it like for you just to work on the set? Because, you know, we talked about Brian Tyree Henry earlier. Mm-hmm. Of course, Donald Glover is amazing. What was it like?
It was nice. I mean, so I have a theater background, you know, so I've done a lot of theater. I've been on Broadway, just finished a Broadway run of Death of a Salesman in January, you know, and that was crazy. Playing Biff on Broadway was nuts.
But
I had a theater background, and that was my first time really doing a show where I had that much responsibility. So my first day going in, you know, I felt a little tense, you know, because sometimes the directors don't give you a lot of flexibility when you're doing TV, or at least back then. And the director walked up to me, man, and he said, "Chris, you from theater, you do theater, right?" I said, "Yeah, you know." And he said, "Well, look, just do whatever you want. And if I see something that's a little crazy, I'll come and we'll talk about it." Man, he took the reins off of me and I just cut it loose. And I wanted more than anything that Tracy was likable. Mm-hmm. I needed him to be understood on a human level, right? Rather than being like just a bruh man or somebody that you could poke fun at. I'm a firm believer that every character, whether they're a real person like Mr. Foreman or a made-up character like Tracy, represents somebody, right? If they come from my mind and then they're put on paper, that's from an experience that a human had. And we're telling a human experience. So I wanted people like Tracy to be seen and to be respected, for people to know that, you know, when you're walking through a Walmart and you see somebody that looks like Tracy, or you're on a train in New York, and you see somebody who looks like Tracy, know that person has a lot of love too. And that person has their own experiences. That person has the need for joy and connection as well. So I wanted Tracy to have all of those things through all the crazy circumstances that he was going through on the show. And I didn't know that people were going to relate to Tracy that well. I just wanted Tracy to just be a full, flushed out human being, person, like everybody else on the show. You know what I mean?
Sure.
And people really related to Tracy. And I think everybody knows a Tracy. I know a Tracy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You know a Tracy.
Yeah, of course.
You know a Tracy. You know a Tracy. You know a Tracy. We all know a Tracy. Mm-hmm. And I wanted Tracy to have the Tracys of our lives to have some representation and to be shown some love, man.
Do you got a Donald Glover story going out the door?
A Donald Glover story? Other than the fact that I had to whoop on him.
Okay.
In the show?
That's a good one.
No, there's an episode where I beat up Donald Glover, and that was a lot of fun, you know, him and I roaming around. And the thing about Donald was, you know, sure, we could have used stunt people, but we didn't. So me and him just were like, we're just going to go. So me and him, we understood the choreography, we understood the stunts, and we did it together. And he was going the distance, and I was going the distance. So I have a lot of respect for the willingness to trust me, you know, and to go there, you know, because not everybody will.
I've never met him, but you must have a few inches on him, right?
Quite a few. But that's how you do it. You go to distance, you know, just like with this film.
Sure.
I gained all the weight. I gained 50 pounds in 5 weeks. I went from 225 to 275 in 5 weeks.
Did you enjoy that?
No, I ate 7,000 calories a day to do it.
Oh, what are you eating?
I did it all pescatarian. Right. No dairy, no sugar. Didn't eat any beef, pork, or chicken. Did it all pescatarian, and clean.
You gained weight that way?
Gained weight. Yeah, so 7,000 calories on a pescatarian diet. All the fight scenes, I didn't use no stunt doubles, nothing. Nobody threw a punch for me. Nobody took a punch for me. That is my bald head. That's my afro. I did every single thing that you see. That was me, man. And we also made contact. We were striking in this film. You know, I've been calling it sparring plus. You know what I mean? So, yeah, so Donald, I believe, is a person like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Who can go to distance like that, too. So it was cool to meet somebody like that on set and to be willing to do that.
What a pleasure chatting with you, Chris Davis. Yeah, come back anytime. Seriously, this is the first of hopefully many times. Come back anytime with whatever you're doing.
Thanks, Rich.
What a pleasure to meet you and nice chat with you and for you to be as successful as you're becoming, and then also have the sensibility to get out when beer cans are flying in Philadelphia. I think you've got the winning combination. I think you've got the sensibility and the forthrightness.
Rich, maybe Chris. Next time the Cowboys beat up on the Eagles, Chris can call in and just tell us how he's feeling.
You need
about
to stop
the situation. You know,
you need to stop it back there. The level of disrespect. See, I can't see you. You're talking behind my back, literally.
I love it. Our two in studio guests, pissed off by the Dallas Cowboy fan, Kate Mara with the Giants, and now obviously an Eagle fan, and Chris Davis. Big George Foreman is in theaters exclusively this Friday, starring Chris Davis and Forrest Whitaker in theaters near you. Let's talk Sleep Number, people, because no matter who you are, you want to reach your full potential. And the way you do it is because you get next level sleep thanks to sleeping on a Sleep Number smart bed. When you do that, you're finally harnessing your unique potential every night. That's what I do. My Sleep Number setting is 60. My wife's is 70. It's just 10 numbers apart, but it does mean the world of difference because I get to choose my ideal comfort and support on my side of the bed and change it whenever I like. And my wife gets to do the same on her side of the bed. It is nothing short of awesome. And that's why Sleep Number makes sure that you get the quality sleep that you need. Sleep next level, folks. Unlock your unique potential with a smart bed that can perform as well as you. And now save $500 on the new next-gen Sleep Number smart beds. Plus, special financing for a limited time. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com. See store for details. Men, do you get distracted during the day thinking about your underarms sweating, itching, or emitting an odor? Do those thoughts keep you from showing care when it counts? New and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant with 72-hour sweat and odor protection and 1-quarter moisturizing cream helps you forget about your underarms so you can be present for the moments that matter. Don't let underarm insecurities keep you at arm's distance from the ones you care about. Buy new and improved Dove Men Plus Care Antiperspirant wherever personal care products are sold. Let's be fair and balanced, because Kate Mara came on and talked about the Giants, and Chris Davis just talked about the Eagles, and both of them rolled their eyes and had a visceral negative reaction when T.J. Jefferson talked about his beloved Cowboys.
I mean, you know it happens.
Let's be fair and balanced.
Get your damn act together.
Well, the Joneses held a press conference today.
That's what I heard.
Pre-draft press conference.
All right.
The Dallas Cowboys currently are 27th in the draft order, behind the Giants.
Yeah, it means we had a great season.
Will they trade up? Could they possibly trade up? Bijan Robinson, when the mock drafts first started, few had him falling to the Cowboys, 27. Mm-hmm. That's not happening. Now that we've hit draft week.
Sad, but true.
Will the Cowboys trade up? Will they trade up? There.
You can read all the mock drafts. You can see all the things that maybe were officially polled quietly by other general managers, but you'll never know till you're there. You can make a quick decision if we say, hey, here's an opportunity. And oh, by the way, it's a guy we had quite a bit higher than where he's fallen to now. It might be worth considering giving up something.
Well, I made one on Manziel a few years ago, and that didn't go so well.
You know, when we're 6, 7, 8 picks out, and, you know, we always ask the question, what would it take to go up and get him? Does it take your bottom of the second round pick to go get him? And, you know, we 9 times out of 10, we'll have that conversation. So
drafting's not our problem. Coaching is.
He's got to get everybody.
That's a walk-off line with Mike McCarthy sitting there.
I didn't even know Mike McCarthy was awake.
Well, I mean, come on. That's a press conference where we chose sound bites that the Joneses were talking.
I know, but look, I mean, alive, but, Mike. Yeah. You're just sitting there like.
Yeah, he doesn't look. Yeah, because me and Brockman were like.
Like, look alive.
He didn't want to be there.
What does that mean? Yeah. Look like a human being who's
Look,
with
Coach
it.
Has a lot of stuff going on. He didn't want to be there anyway. There was no need for him to even be there when Jerry's got
it's
the money.
It's remarkable that he's there at all after he was hired to tell the Joneses, I've watched every snap of your team from the last year, and then once he's hired, admitting he didn't.
I mean, how many of us haven't embellished a little bit on a resume? I mean, come on.
Remember that one?
Yeah.
We've all twisted a
don't
little bit.
Don't go after Mike McCarthy.
Yeah, you leave my coach alone, Brockman. Just because you don't like your coach, all right? You leave
how
my
about
alone.
Jerry? How about Jerry? What if Steven and the rest of the organization didn't tell him back in the day, we're not taking Manziel? We're not taking him. We're not trading up to go get him. What about Jerry just flat out?
Jerry wanted Johnny so bad.
Almost as bad as Skip Bayless in that video that went viral. How wrong can one man possibly be in the same video where another man is so right? Merrill Hodge, how about that one?
Yeah, if you've never seen that video, look it up.
Well, at any rate. What would you want to talk about a sliding door and how different organizations would be?
Yeah.
Because if he couldn't handle Cleveland, can you imagine if the star was on the side of his helmet?
Maybe it would have worked out.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, by the way, you know who's killing it in the USFL?
My buddy Danuch. AJ McCarron is balling.
Or is it XFL?
XFL.
Yeah, he's in XFL, I was going to say.
Ben DiNucci.
DiNucci. Oh, I thought
DiNucci's
AJ.
DiNucci's killing it in DiNucci's the XFL. XFL.
Yeah. He might be coming back. You know, third stringer.
He might.
We got Cookus.
He keeps doing this. He might be in the live action Moana with the boss.
Hey, Rich, I don't want to.
Ben DiNucci and The Rock.
Oh, McCarron is the MVP favorite.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Mike would know that. You know why?
No.
Because he's riding the faders.
No, that's USFL.
Mike's doing USFL.
Oh, you're doing.
No, don't.
No, McCarron. Which one is McCarron in?
XFL.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I can't tell. Oh, I'm sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to.
Case Cookus.
I'm thrown off by the guy who's literally right behind me now.
I didn't want to. I was trying to break that to you a little bit easy.
All the places.
What are we doing?
Literally. There's only one. Get out of the frame.
They heard you, Rich, I think.
This guy.
Get out of the frame.
Get out.
Hey, but he's got a lot of keys.
Rich, you want me to put a little.
Keys open doors.
You know? Rich, you want me to put a little speaker out there so you can, like, just do, like, please move?
Nope.
Other stuff?
Nope. It's okay.
This is way
you don't want to do that?
Let's put the blinds back up for Pete.
Yeah. Hey, we fair and balanced. Troy Aikman's slated to call in tomorrow.
That's my quarterback.
And Carson, your brother in Twitter account's being suspended, Carson Palmer.
Man, we got to get to the
bottom.
What did he do? I don't know.
What did he do? He's
probably like me, didn't do
Will
nothing.
Will Anderson and Bijan tomorrow, too?
I'm going to show.
Look at us.
Jeez.
Look at us. Wrestling fans, feel the podcast heat. Whoa! Join Hall of Fame wrestlers every week sharing their stories from the past. Click this with Kevin Nash.
I'm in the ring in my mind saying, that's Hulk Hogan. Like Hogan's with us.
And insights on what's happening now.
Strictly Business with Eric Bischoff.
We love breaking down the business of the wrestling business.
Ric Flair, Mike Mulley, Jake the Snake Roberts, good old JR, and more.
Get into the WrestleMania spirit. Just search Podcast Heat
wherever you listen.